Hey y'all, it's A Few Minutes with the Pew podcast. I'm Lily.
And I'm Maddie.
And we have a passion to see people make Jesus number one in their everyday lives.
We want to get serious about being serious for Jesus. Will you join us?
Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. We're really excited to have you here with us today. In the studio, we are jumping right in with a really inspirational morning pep talk, if you will. I'm not really sure what the title of this episode is going to be because it's going to be like a hodgepodge of different things that we are really excited to talk to you about. If you have just recently come to Christ in the last year or so, or if you are a more seasoned Christian and you are discipling someone or getting ready to pour into them, whether that looks like meeting with them weekly or calling and texting and, you know, all the different ways that we're pouring into people, I really believe that this will be an episode that will just help you and will inspire you to get into the Word. That is one of the most important things that we can do. We know that. And I think that we often lose sight of it because we don't know where to start. You see so many people who are just like, or I at least hear from so many people that are like, I just jump in the Word and I just open it up to whatever page I flip to, and that's what I read for the day. And so there's really no intentionality. There's no real game plan as far as here's what I'm going to read so that I can learn this, this, and this. And I can really understand this specific area of Scripture. And if you're a new Christian, specifically the whole of Scripture, mm-hmm. so that you can understand the whole story of the gospel and why it's important for us to know God's word and know his story, because his story is still being written even in our day. And so we need to know that. We need to be aware of that. And if you're a new Christian, it can be really difficult to understand that when you're just flipping through the Bible and just reading wherever you land that day.
Yeah.
And it can be hard to stay motivated to read the Word when we have so much going on around us. We have so many activities that we're a part of. We have so much busyness. And you guys know, we've talked a lot about that on the show before. So we're not going to get into that specifically today. But just the fact that it's really hard for us to stay motivated to stay in the Word when we're just flipping around and we really don't know where we're at and we have no game plan. I'm not trying to say that you have to have the perfect Bible reading plan for the whole year laid out ahead of you or anything like that. I'm someone that has, over the past couple of years, done Bible in 365, and I have absolutely loved that. I think we're going to get into that a little bit today and just kind of explain what that looks like. But as far as a new Christian, I don't think I would start there. I don't think I would start with Bible 365. I think it's a great way to read Scripture. It's a great method to follow, but it is more for the one who understands the whole of Scripture. So today we're going to give you basically a reading plan, a rough reading plan that really walks you through whether you're a new believer or trying to pour into someone and guiding them in what to read or what to talk with them about when you meet. This plan is hopefully going to be helpful to you in those ways and show you the story of Scripture without going through all of it in a year. And just starting with these books, I believe, will really give you the foundation that you need for understanding Scripture and living it out in your everyday life and just having the general knowledge that you need for the gospel and how it should be lived out in your everyday life. So I'm really excited for this episode because I think that this is just basic stuff that a lot of us ignore and then we never come back to it. And that's the problem. Like we rush into all of this other stuff and we don't really have this firm foundation that we're building upon with people, especially when we're discipling them. We just kind of jump in and we're like, oh, okay, everything's great, whatever. And that's good. I'm not saying to neglect talking about real life and doing that stuff. Mm-hmm. That is so necessary and that's needed. And we can't get too focused on a curriculum or a book study or something like that when discipling people. I think that that is actually one of the worst things that we can do because they desperately need to talk about real life and they need to know, how does Jesus affect my work situation? How does Jesus affect my relationships? How does Jesus affect all of these things and how does he change them overall and transform my life and help me to live differently? So I don't believe that focusing too much on a book study or a curriculum or something like that is going to be the most helpful. But I think that really starting with these basic books, and we'll explain why starting with these books specifically will be helpful, is so important to us. So Maddie, let's jump into this and just share some of our thoughts as far as how I think this is a model that I would love to use moving forward in discipleship relationships and telling people, here's something that you should read and let's go through it together.
Yeah, well, I think that in a lot of Christian spheres, we do teach people that each book of the Bible, each chapter is very separate from the others. And I think that that's pretty detrimental because the Bible is extremely connected and each book is extremely connected. And without having kind of a background on some books, you can't understand others as well, or you don't understand how the New Testament changes the Old Testament, or, you know, different things like that that are essential to the Christian faith. And to our theology. And obviously, if you're a new believer or you're discipling one, theology is not necessarily something that you need to be like super heavy on and be like, okay, well, we have to make sure that you don't say this or interpret this that way or whatever. Obviously, if some wrong theology comes up in their reading, they misunderstand something, you got to correct that. That's fine. And that is important. But like Lily said, I think that we get too focused on going through very theological books, or we swing the entire other way and we go way too shallow. And I think that that is honestly really terrible for new Christians because they crave something so much deeper than we realize, I think, because when your life is completely changed by Jesus, you don't want someone to give you like fluff and, oh, today's going to be a great day because you have breath in your lungs. Like, no, they want something deeper than that, and they want something that is actually going to encourage them to take up their cross and follow Jesus. And I think that we can tend to screw that up in the discipleship relationship a lot because we get focused on what's easy for us to do. I mean, I'm totally guilty of that with like, you want to do something that is known to you, that you know, okay, we can read this chapter that has one verse at the beginning and everything will be fine. And that will be substantial enough. Whereas I think that definitely in the first few years, the focus has got to be on scripture pretty entirely. And we're going to go over a couple devotionals that we think are good for new Christians for maybe a little bit of an added thing. But obviously, yeah, I think that scripture is really, really important. And I think that teaching people how to read scripture in a very coherent manner that teaches them that it all goes together is vital, because if we teach them that it's all separate, then I think we teach them not to like it because it all goes together for a reason. And that's not just because Jesus wanted to create a super long volume for us to read, but it's not effective to just skip around and skip through it. Like, you wouldn't do that with a regular chapter book. You wouldn't go to chapter 12 first and then go back to chapter 6 and then chapter 29 a couple weeks later. Like, that's not how you would read an actual book. And while the Bible can be configured in different ways, which is what we're going to talk about today, it is not all separate from each other where you can just read this one thing and then, okay, we'll move on to the next thing and that doesn't relate to it at all. So I think that's something that's really important for new believers and for people who are discipling them to convey. Scripture all goes together, and we need to read it in a coherent manner that is going to teach us how it goes together, because it is hard to make some of those connections on your own, especially if you are starting completely fresh. Like, you literally know nothing about scripture, or you know very little. You know the basic Bible stories where it's like, oh yeah, Noah and the Ark, or Adam and Eve, or, you know, David and Goliath. Well, how does all of that relate to the rest of scripture? You know, that's kind of how I think we should be approaching Bible studies and stuff, especially until you get a lot more mature in your faith and you can go more like book by book and really dive into them without having to consider what everything else has to say, because you already have that foundation of knowing, okay, when I'm reading this in Exodus, that's what Jesus is referring to in Matthew when he's talking about the Israelites. This is why we have the Passover, and this is why we have this and that, and this comes into Jewish culture in this way and that kind of stuff. So I think that that definitely comes with time. It should not necessarily be a super separate thing right at the very beginning, because I just don't think that that's effective for any of us. And if that's how you've been reading your Bible this whole time, not bad. good that you're in scripture, period. Like, that is good. Don't beat yourself up like, oh, if I'm not doing the right plan, it doesn't count. Mm-hmm. That's not the case. But there are really effective ways you can go about reading scripture. And I think that that's important, because to just go about it all willy-nilly is kind of pointless.
Yeah. Okay, so here is kind of the layout that I would use going forward with someone that I would be discipling. I would have them start with John, and this is very common. We hear this all the time. People say, start in the book of John. That's going to give you your good basic knowledge of who Jesus is and what he's done, mm-hmm. and just like the very, very key things you need to know. And then we kind of stop there, and that's about it. We honestly don't
just
expect
keep
them
reading John over yeah, and over again.
Which, I mean, John's great. That's awesome. But like, we honestly, if we're just being completely transparent, we don't really expect people to get past John.
Yeah.
And I think that that is so sad in just how we view discipleship and how we view Christianity now, because it's going to be like, oh, you're probably not going to like it. So whatever. Start with that and see where it goes. And we don't give them like, hey, once you get through John, then you're going to get to this, and this is going to make sense. Like, this is going to start coming together for you. This is going to be powerful. Mm-hmm. And you're going to start understanding the whole story of scripture like we're talking about. So I would start them in John, and then I would have them move through Mark, Matthew, and then Luke. So we're going to have them go through the Gospels, but we're going to have them go through the Gospels in a very intentional way, mm-hmm. that has them understanding basic concepts of scripture, basic principles, but they're also reading in a way that makes sense and that makes things come together, and they start understanding the biblical writers. They get some background history on them. They get good stuff like that. So I'd have them start with that, and that just will give them a very basic knowledge of who Jesus is, the way he has worked on earth when he came to mm-hmm. save us from our sin. They're going to hear about the cross and the resurrection, very basic and key things. And then what I would have them do is I would have them go through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the first five books of the Bible. And I would have them read that, because that's going to give them a very good overview of the fall. It's going to give them a good overview of God choosing the Israelites as his chosen people. It's going to give them a good overview of why does Jesus come ultimately to save us from our sin? Where did this story begin? Mm-hmm. And why am I here? What's the point? Identity. There's so many good things in that that they're going to learn. And they're going to learn so much about sin and righteousness, which I think is very key in Christianity, because that is something that affects the Gospels. When you get there, they're going to start understanding, oh, that's why sacrifices were needed. Yeah. This is why God instituted the law. This is why all of those things happened. And then what I would have them do is I would have them go through Romans, Galatians, and Colossians in that order. And all of these I'm putting in order. This is just going to help them get a better understanding of the law, and then how that relates to us today. Why we're no longer under the law, why Jesus came and now we are under his freedom, his law, and we can live in that. And so they're just going to get a really great basic foundation, like I've been saying, that shows them this is why Jesus came. This is who he is. This is the person of Jesus and the love that he has for us. You're going to get the cross and the resurrection. You're going to get his disciples, community, just very basic things that are going to help them as they go through the other books. Because obviously I wouldn't start someone in Genesis. Mm-hmm. That's just, no. Okay, we don't need Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Right in the beginning.
Right,
okay?
Out of the gate.
That would freak me out as a new believer. I would be like, what is going on? Mm-hmm. And so I don't want to start someone there and try to explain all of that. That's just not smart. It doesn't mean that it's bad. It doesn't mean that they don't need to know about it. And I think that we kind of get that confused, and we try to steer clear of those things because we're like, oh my goodness, you can't read that.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't mean they can't read it. It doesn't mean that it's bad or that they shouldn't read it. It just means that that's probably not the best thing to start off with right out of the gate. And so that is kind of the plan that I would have them go through. And I think that that is just very beneficial. It's one of the best things that I think I've seen for having someone get the basics without going through the whole Bible. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to Maddie about this right before we sat down to record, and we were just talking about, okay, like, what's the time frame? Like, what do you think the time frame would be for doing this, because I don't even think, like, this is a lot for someone to do in a year if you're a new believer and you're actually studying it and you're going through it mm-hmm. and you're being intentional, not just reading it. Like, this is not something that I would just have them read and like go on. No, we want them asking questions. We want them discussing things. When you meet together, it doesn't mean that you have to do all of your reading together. I would really encourage you not to do that. If they have questions, thoughts, different things that they want to share with you, or they have a chapter that they do want to reread with you to go through some different things, that's great. That's what your meeting time is for, as well as the real life stuff. So mm-hmm. save your discipleship time for that. Outside of that, outside of the discipleship time where you're actually sitting down together and meeting or doing life together, whatever that looks like for you, they should be reading these things on their own and they should be working through it. That gets them in the Bible, that gets them reading it for themselves, that gets them thinking and not just relying on you and not just depending on you like a lot of people are doing on Sunday mornings when they mm-hmm. come and sit in church and they depend on the preacher to give them the word for the week. No, they need to know that they can do it on their own and they can come up with questions and they can understand it. When they understand that they can actually understand scripture themselves and that God wants to speak to them through that, that is so amazing. And it's so fundamental to their walk with Christ in the beginning. It is so fundamental. And I think that sometimes it's hard for us as the disciple maker to understand, like, you've got to let them be on their own a little bit. You've got to encourage them to step out and to take some responsibility and to mm-hmm. initiate and to actually do some work on their own and not just with you.
Now, that is not an excuse to just like leave them in the lurch, because we definitely have a tendency to do that as Christians. We typically are kind of like, okay, go read John.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck. You can do it. And then we leave it there. Maybe we meet once a week for a little while. And then the first time that one of us has something on mm-hmm. the day that we usually meet, it's like, okay, we'll just get together next week then. Well, you know, then it's easier for schedules to crowd up and you're not making it a habit anymore. And discipleship is about so much more than just a weekly meeting. It is about living mm-hmm. life together and kind of coexisting in a lot of ways, and not in the cliche 21st century idea of coexisting. It's literally you are existing together
mm-hmm.
as Christians, as the church, and that is the point of your discipleship relationship. So yeah, I really like the way that this is laid out, because you start with, here is how we have a relationship with Jesus mm-hmm. in the Gospels, and here's what he did to make that possible. And then you move on to the creation story, the Israelites, the law in Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's where you like really cover a lot of the law. And I think that it's important to have the foundation of the relationship before you begin to study the law, because then it's much easier to understand how Jesus transformed that, how he turned it from law to relationship and that kind of thing. So I really like how, you know, you start with the Gospels, and then we don't disregard the law, we don't mm-hmm. disregard the fall, we don't disregard any of that, but you already have that foundation of, this is why, like, Jesus already came and here is why.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like the way that they do that, and then the way that Paul furthers that teaching of the law versus relationship, how do we function within both now
mm-hmm.
in Romans, Galatians, and Colossians, because, you know, he covers that a lot. Like Lily said, I think that new believers, they want a challenge in some ways, but we want to make it so that they actually understand what is challenging them.
Right.
And we don't want to make it so that it's like you start with Leviticus and it's like, if you have this kind of skin condition, you cannot do
if
this.
If you have a white patch,
Lily's obsessed. Trouble. This is like the only thing she learned from Leviticus. Guys, when she read it last year.
It was so bad. Like, if you
white
have,
patch thing.
Like, if you have a skin disease or something, it's bad news. Like, you're done. But yeah. Anywho, yeah. And you also, one point that I wanted to make when you said that just reminded me, I didn't mention this earlier, you want them to be able to sustain it. And yeah. we don't really enable them to do that when you start them off in Leviticus. You know, mm-hmm. you don't make it possible for them to be excited about it and to actually want to know more. But with this kind of layout, and I'm not saying that this is perfect in every situation. Some people are different. Maybe they've been through these books. Maybe they just did that and part of their coming to Jesus story was reading John. And so now mm-hmm. you're moving on. That's great. That's perfect. So I'm not saying that you must do it in this order.
Yeah.
But I believe that this really is a good initial thing if you're looking for, where do I start? Mm-hmm. Where do I begin? How do I help this person through the word? And that also means that the one discipling needs to be doing this as well. You can't just expect them to be reading these things and then to come back and have all these questions and whatever, and you're like lost. You should be intimately involved in what they are reading, and you're each doing that separately. But when you're living life together, that just automatically comes together.
Yeah.
And then you're getting to talk about those things, you're getting to discuss it, and it's just a really good thing.
Mm-hmm. We like this layout, and I think that it is essential that they read things like Sodom and Gomorrah, and right. they read things like David screwing up and, you know, all this stuff, because that just more fully conveys the reason for why Jesus came, why mm-hmm. he wants to have a relationship with us. And all of those things relate to our real life. Mm-hmm. And if we think that we don't, then we're reading scripture wrong, because yeah. it's not like our world was any more sinful then than it is now. We are still just as sinful, no more, no less, and we still need the forgiveness of Jesus as much as the people of Sodom and Gomorrah did, mm-hmm. as much as David did, as much as Jonah did. All of these different stories that they would encounter in the Old Testament are essential to the Christian faith.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, it's important that they read those things, but I think it's important that they have the foundation of the Gospels and they know that, okay, yes, we do have our modern day Sodom and Gomorrahs, and mm-hmm. they'll probably be able to think of some examples in their own life
yeah.
where it is that sinful and that far from Christianity mm-hmm. and from Jesus. But then they will have that foundation of knowing, okay, but Jesus already came, so we have the opportunity to change that.
Right.
We are in a much better position than the people of Sodom and Gomorrah were, because now we get to have this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not all about law, and it's not all about sacrifice. It is in a different way, but they get to really understand what a relationship with Jesus looks like. So I think that that's definitely important. And then also for some supplemental extra reading for anybody who's interested, we do have a, I guess I'll plug this real quick. We do have a free Christian resources page on our blog that you can download that has all kinds of different Christian recommendations for a bunch of different things. There's music, movies, devotionals, all kinds of different stuff like that that is entirely free for you guys to download. And you can find that on our blog under our resources tab. And there's a link to our blog in the description of this episode, or you can just look up thefew.blog. And so you can download that, look at it on the blog, and that does lay out some devotions that we like and stuff, but just a couple that we will mention in this episode. I don't really love the devotionals that have the one little verse at the top, and then the devotion is about something completely different, or something that is completely about the author and not about that specific scripture. Because believe me, your devotions need to be grounded in scripture, and that is what makes a devotional truly good, because that is what we should ultimately be listening to, is scripture, mm-hmm. and not necessarily just the opinions of someone else. So some devotionals that we really like are the like morning and evening devotionals by A.W. Tozer, Charles Spurgeon. Spurgeon is a little more difficult. We were talking about that before mm-hmm. we sat down. That one is somewhat difficult. Well, there are several, but Spurgeon is definitely for a little bit more of an advanced Christian and someone who is not afraid of reading things in Old English a little bit.
But they're
not terrible, but yeah, and they are really, really good. And what we really love about those is, yes, they have the one little verse at the top that you start with, but then the rest of the devotional is about that verse, and they really just like dive into it and pick it apart and really get into the verse itself. And so that's what we really like about things like that. There are some morning and evening C.S. Lewis devotionals, which are also really good, but definitely a little bit more advanced. Also, C.S. Lewis can be somewhat difficult to read mm-hmm. sometimes, but those are just a few that we really enjoy. And then a few actual like books that aren't necessarily devotionals that we really love are pretty much any of Francis Chan's books are really good, especially for new believers, super easy to read and stuff. But those are especially good for teaching a new believer what it looks like to function in the church and mm-hmm. what the church should look like as it's functioning. So all of his books are really good for things like that. And for talking about, like, what does evangelism look like? What does it look like when you go to work and you are still being the church mm-hmm. on your own?
Yeah.
And I think that that's something really great that you can go through as you're discipling someone, like a specific book that you, if you do want to read that, if that makes you more comfortable, talk about that after you talk about real life. And that is going to help you to really be looking for opportunities for evangelism and fueling that conversation about real life and how Jesus is changing it and how you are acting like Jesus in your everyday life. Because mm-hmm. that is obviously the point of Christianity, but it's also something that is kind of difficult to get the hang of in right. some areas because, you know, you're scared maybe to talk about what has happened in your life. If you're a new believer, a little bit intimidated about talking about that with the people that you're around who do not have Jesus and don't know what that change actually looks like and feels like and how it changes your life. Francis Chan does an incredible job of explaining what that's actually supposed to look like in your life. So there are a few actual like book recommendations if you like that kind of thing more and that's something that you want for a more like, okay, here's something that I am going to do in the morning and in the evening aside from my scripture reading.
Right. Yeah, just some extra stuff that is very encouraging, very helpful. Let this be inspiring to you. Don't let mm-hmm. this be overwhelming, like, oh my goodness, I have so much to do, or oh my goodness, I have so much research and I need to get on it. You know, it's really just about falling more in love with Jesus. And that's the goal and that's the point. And so be inspired by this. This is all great stuff to get into that will ultimately change our lives, help us to know Jesus more and to love him more. And I love that we get to do that all together. You know, mm-hmm. here on the show, we get to do that. By talking about these things, you guys are getting to do it, whether you're in a discipleship relationship with someone, being the new believer, being the one that's discipling. That is just so valuable and one of the best experiences you can have. Mm-hmm. And everybody should be in that type of relationship, no matter what side you're on or what role you play. That is just something that is so amazing and so powerful in our walk and what I truly believe Jesus intends for us to experience. So don't neglect that. If you're not in that kind of relationship, pursue that. Ask someone to disciple you. If you've never been discipled, ask someone that you see that is in love with Jesus and is following him. Ask them if they would walk it out with you mm-hmm. and be there for you and teach you. And if you are someone that is more seasoned and you're doing that and you don't have a new believer or someone that you see that needs to be brought up a little bit, ask them out to coffee one day and just see where that goes, mm-hmm. see where the Lord takes it. So that is our encouragement, our morning inspiration for you. We hope that you found it helpful. And if you have any kind of questions or any thoughts that you'd like to share with us, be sure to email us. Our email is in every podcast episode description. And be sure to download our resources page on our blog. That page is going to be so helpful for you if you are a new Christian or discipling. And we will talk to y'all next Monday. Bye, guys.